part of my approach to wellness is this, not only like physically, like are you eating and sleeping and exercising and all that like standard stuff, but how are you doing emotionally? And are you taking care of your other needs, your spiritual needs, your emotional, your social needs, right?
Welcome to LifeWorks, where we talk about life and work and making it work. I'm Hannah Greenstein, a From Mompreneur on a mission just like yours, to live the mompreneur life that brings me feelings of balance and inner peace and joy. Here, I hold space for you in the many roles you play as a From Mommy business owner. Join me for support, mindset, techniques, and tools around productivity, focus, and work-life balance so you can feel in balance and at peace. If you can find excitement and joy at work and at home, you will thrive in the roles you play and feel fulfilled by your life's work. And that's what I want for you. So let's get started. Welcome back. I hope you are enjoying an incredible summer, however you are spending your summer. Take some time to maybe step back, slow down, enjoy a day at the pool, whatever you are able to do to make summer feel like summer to you. In today's LifeWorks in Real Life episode, I introduce you to Miriam Carr, and I'm really excited for you to listen to this episode because her story is so relatable. She talks about struggles that she contended with when she transitioned to entrepreneurship that we all run into, but also so inspiring. She's really proactive about making mompreneurhood work for her, and up-leveling her work-life balance, up-leveling her productivity, just doing better at everything she does. And it was so incredible to hear her insights and tips. Miriam Carr is a wife, mother, Jewish outreach professional, and bio, that's beautiful inside out, wellness coach. She is a speaker, writer, dancer, and nature lover, and is passionate about helping women achieve whole person health, which means feeling good physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that they can have energy for what matters most to them. So as you can imagine, Miriam had incredible insights and perspectives to share. I'm super excited for you to listen and enjoy the episode. But first, if you are not yet on the LifeWorks email list, if you don't receive our podcast updates, private access launches, resources I share only with my email list, special offers I make them that I don't make anywhere else, then you want to get on. Head to lifeworkspodcast.com and sign up for emails so that you don't miss out on anything, because there are some really exciting goodies that will come your way. Enjoy the episode. Miriam, thank you for being here. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you, Hannah. So excited to be here.
Can you begin by sharing with us just a little bit about what your journey has been, what it's been like building your business, how you got to where you are today?
Thank you so much. Yeah, sure. So I started out knowing nothing about business. I came into coaching through a really big Hashgacha Pratis story where I had finished my coaching course and I did it for my personal journey. It was a personal growth journey. And then because I lost my job, my official job during COVID, so it really seemed that Hashem was putting the stage in front of me, like, wow, I have this now ability to coach and I love it. And now I can do it professionally because that's, you know, the other job went away. So now this job is coming in. That's how I took it. And so I realized that I know nothing about business or doing that. I felt like a great coach, but not knowing the first thing about business. So I took a business course and a sales course and other personal courses along the way. But I would definitely say that I started from scratch. And if I would do it again, I would do it a different way. And this is how I would do it now that I learned from my mistake. I would find people who are doing what I'm doing now, successful women coaches, and ask them what they would recommend in terms of their programs, in terms of their advice, because I was doing it just, I didn't know any from women coaches, surprisingly, that were doing it the business route. So I'm really grateful I landed in a bunch of really good experiences and also some not so great. So had I done my research and speaking to more women beforehand, I would have maybe cut some corners. But you know, you live, you learn. That's just part of the process.
Fascinating. Wow. So tell me, let's start with the basics. What does work-life balance mean to you?
I have a really big personal space in my heart for this because it's something that I've struggled with so, so much. And it's something that I've had to do because I've always worked with a child at home. I started the business when she was literally a month or two old.
Wow.
And you know, she's just turned two. So like this whole journey has been with this juggling act. And in the beginning, it was easier because, you know, a newborn kind of, you know, it was easier than when they get older and older and older. It really required more scheduling and time blocking and babysitters and just organization on the business aspect and organizing with clients. So I would say that it was a really rough learning curve. And again, if you and your podcast had existed earlier, I would have totally picked your brains, but I did it like on the fly as I was learning. And eventually I did get a personal coach to help me figure out where my time was going. And as a coach myself, I know the value of coaching and getting the help you need is just so good for your sanity and you'll be so much more productive. So I finally just got the help I needed to organize my schedule and kids and everything else.
I want to hear your journey from prior to launching your own business. You were in a job, right? Like you were an employee. What does that look like? The difference, because there's work-life balance all the time. What is the difference in work-life balance between being an employee and then being the business owner?
So my job beforehand, I had several jobs. Well, I had several jobs. I was at one point, my first job was in technical writing in a high-tech Israeli company, the newly wed. And that just sucked my soul out. Like I could not continue. So after I had my first child, I just left that. And that's its own work-life balance of just being in corporate, the 9 to 5, 9 to 6, whatever it is. And that's just its own ball game that I left because it wasn't good for me physically or emotionally. So that went. And as I had my first child, then I took on freelance jobs, writing jobs. And that was, again, just in between naps and babysitters. Then I transitioned into when I moved back to North America, I took a Jewish outreach position. So that was also flexible schedule. So my jobs have always been from home, except for that first high-tech one. It's always been flexible from home as a mother. So I've had to figure this work-life balance just on the fly. Now that no one's giving me my paycheck, it kind of matters much more. It seems to depend more on me. How well I organize is a direct influence on what my productivity looks like and what my earnings are like and what my work experience is like. So when you're under somebody, you just have to make sure that you get the stuff done, squeeze it in here, you know, there. But when you're doing it on your own, you're your own boss. So if you're super organized and know how to do it intrinsically, so good for you. But I was definitely not one of those.
I'm curious because I hear both sides, different women struggle in different directions. For some women, it's harder for them to show up to their businesses. They're really good at being a mommy and they're really good at being there for their kids. And then when it comes to running the business, that's when they feel out of balance. And for some women, it's the opposite. They love being at their desk. They love how empowered and accomplished they feel. And when it's time to go home and spend time with their kids, who they love and they want to spend time with, that's their struggle. And I think everyone struggles in both ways. What have you found primarily to come easier to you?
I'll be totally honest. It's much easier for me to be at my desk writing or working with clients. It's just like me and my element. I'm also a mommy. I have a bunch of little kids that are growing and have grown up more. So obviously you can't take the mommy out of me, but it's much easier for me to just be sucked into my work. And that was a big, big struggle for me. And I realized that as much as I know I'm doing good things, like I'm helping women, you know, live better lives and be healthy emotionally and spiritually and physically in this whole package that I've come up with and helping people, that it shouldn't come at the expense of my family. And I just felt that I was getting too sucked into that. And it was this journey of pulling back and getting my own coach and making a very firm boundary. Like this is work time and this is family time. And this is just housework time. So like there has to be a division of tasks there that before I let run all together. now I can enjoy both because my head is completely, my heart is completely in one area at a time. Whereas before I was just a total mess and I wasn't clear on business-wise. Like I said, business is not coming naturally to me. I love the coaching, but the business I had to learn. So like, what are all the things that I have to make sure that I'm doing? Like, what are my priorities? What's like the busy work that I don't want to do, but I have to get done? And when does that all happen? So it's knowing when to do what and really separating the family from the business. And that's hard when it's pulling or you haven't finished or, you know, especially like I'm a super creative type. So if I'm in a zone, like to pull myself out of that, you know, figuring out how to separate those pieces. Because when there is a mesh, it's just, I'm never going back to the meshed family work situation.
Yeah, I love that so much because first of all, you answered my next two questions, but I always talk about work-life split as the prerequisite for work-life balance. Like you need that boundary. You need to be able to be 100% present at work so that you could be 100% present at home. And that's when you start to feel imbalanced. I think of it as less like we need to do less juggling and just get better at switching. So as opposed to constantly, it's like work and home, sometimes it's just work and sometimes it's just home. And that's really when things start to shift. So I love that. And my next question was going to be, how did you address that getting sucked into work? Because I hear that so much. And what boundaries have you set for yourself? So you knocked those two out.
Well, I have more to add there, actually, because we have these amazing, incredibly technologically advanced devices now. You can check your email. You can do your work from your phone as you're cooking dinner. That was such a learning for me, coming from not having a smartphone to getting one and finding the balance and using it in my work. So actually, this is quite recent in the last few months. I actually made a group of women, a tech boundary group. And my coach and anybody who knows anything about productivity, we all know that we have to limit our phone use and our tech use. And like, there's a specific time for emails and a specific time for this and that. But it's so hard when it's right there, you know? So picked a lot of people's brains about what their systems. Some people have a home phone and a work phone. Some people have a regular phone and then a smartphone for work and they put it away. Like everybody does something different, but I had to find my way. And I made this tech boundary group. And if anybody listening wants to join, it's just a WhatsApp group. It's just a support group, really. We say, you know, you can share wins. You can share your struggle and get advice. I got lots of good advice there. But I also made a firm boundary for myself that I was not going to check my phone before I dive in, for example. Just making a boundary that I wanted to be doing and I was sort of kind of doing, you know, but it's one thing about being part of a group and making a decision, being like, this is the way that I'm doing it now. And I'm doing it with people, you know, and everybody chooses their own sort of boundary that will be helpful. And for example, like I would put my phone away to charge during dinner time or like after school time. And I wouldn't go on until the kids were in bed. Like that was my personal thing. And that was a big, big struggle for me because before I was just so sucked into it for the work and for the distraction and everything else. But it's just so much better both ways when there's that separation, not only from work, but let's take the device and put it where it needs to go too.
Yeah. And you made such a good point. Like you could have a boundary that's kind of wishy-washy, like I try not to, I really wish I didn't. And then you have that boundary that's just your line in the sand. Like you have decided that this is a line you don't cross. And that's when it really starts working for you because you've committed yourself to it.
Right. And I would say additionally, it wasn't enough because I had wanted to and I had tried to before and it hadn't worked. Why did it work this last time? Because I was accountable to other people because I was the one who created the group. So I really had to step up to the plate and I wanted to do that. I needed something more firm. And I also had just hired a coach, you know, and paid a bunch of money. Somebody helped me get myself squared away. So when you invest in yourself, like both by making yourself accountable and with your hard-earned money, you're going to really follow through much more. And as much as I would have loved to have succeeded beforehand just on my own, you know, we could all be just a little humble and say, I don't need to do this by myself. I don't need to do it on my own. There's so much out there to help me. I just need to kind of suck it up, you know, and do the smart thing. Don't have to work so hard. You just have to work smart.
Yeah, absolutely. I see it all the time in our LifeWorks Empowered membership. We have an accountability group. And women will come in and say, hold me accountable to batching my content for the next 2 hours. Hold me accountable to not checking LinkedIn for an hour. And it's like these small things that when you're alone in your office, you like tell yourself you're not going to do. You turn on the timer. But to come through is so much more difficult than when you just posted somewhere to a group of women that this is your goal. Tiny, tiny goals, right? Like for the next hour, what you plan on accomplishing. But, and it makes it so fun because then they celebrate with you.
Right. And I also want to empower women. It doesn't have to be that way. It's something to try because you also want to feel like I can do this. I really can do this. It doesn't have to be an end all be all. It's something to build your confidence and realize, hey, I can do this. And then later when you don't have your group like every second of the day, you know, you realize you have those muscles in you. It's just a tool that can be very, very helpful initially and as you go on.
Right. So good. I want to talk about something you mentioned earlier, which is that since you've launched your business, you have a baby home with you. One of the most common questions I get is how to work when the kids are home, whether it's having a baby home that hasn't gone out to daycare yet or having kids home from school unexpectedly, like a kid wakes up sick or during vacation times. And it is the toughest question for me to answer because it's really, really not easy. What are your best tips? What have you found works for you?
Yeah. And I'm totally, totally in the game with everybody else on this. I started with a baby and then she grew up. And for the first time in my life, for 6 weeks before school just got out. So for the first time in my life as a mompreneur, I had the day like from whenever it was 9 till 3. Like I had that time to myself. I'd never been without a child there, just to give perspective. So that whole experience, those 6 weeks, I like blasted through. And that's when I got the coach and I was like, okay, I got to make this time really efficient here and figure out how to set myself for the future success. But before that, there were the babysitters, having your reliable people. And it was also during COVID. So it was like virtually impossible to really have stability there. So for me, my husband was supporting me in terms of the time, like he could make sure if I knew that I had a client for an hour, so we would arrange that that time worked for me and for him because he was the only one available. I couldn't rely on babysitters. And sometimes there were technological babysitters, honestly. And so I had to, you know, with the videos and things like that. And that was a whole learning, like what is the balance? And I'm sure everybody went through their struggle there during COVID and with work. So that was also a big learning in terms of how much are you going to separate that family and that work? And sometimes it's just not feasible. Sometimes you just have to say, I can't. And sometimes I just say, I can't. And this is not the right time. My daughter was getting sick every other week. It was just like, no, I'm sorry. I'm taking a break from my clients. It's not fair to anybody. And so we'll have to reconvene. And that was not pleasant, but it made me appreciate that my first role is as a wife and mother. It just has to be that way. I feel like I have so much to give, but at the end of the day, nobody can replace me at home. Nobody. And it's much more fun for me to tinker around and write my things. I'm a writer as well. And, you know, to speak to people and speak and do public speaking. And I also do dance. And like, I really love to be out there, but to acknowledge that nobody can replace me at home, I have to bite the bullet. I have to set that boundary for myself always. And that was actually one of the reasons that I hired a personal coach, was to really figure out the way, how can I be the best mom and the best productive worker, you know, and put forth my good things in the world and make the changes that I want to see in the world. So how can I do that best? And I think it sometimes is stepping back and just working smarter and not harder.
And I think the key word you used is sometimes, and recognizing that making a decision for right now doesn't mean it's a decision for all time can also really help. I need to step back now because my baby needs me now. That doesn't mean I'm putting this on hold forever. It's about like what's most important right now. And what's most important is constantly shifting and changing because your baby, like you said, grows up and then needs you in different ways. And then you have different capacities that you're able to show up in.
Right. And also those times that I wasn't, for example, working with clients because I just felt my scheduling, I could not because there was nobody to watch her or any of my other kids. It was time for me to do other things like my writing, like I said, like planning, like learning. There were other productive things that I could be doing during that time. So always looking at like, what can I do? I could like give myself this quote unquote client break. I'm not off of work, you know, I'm mommying, but I'm also, there's other tasks, other things that I could be using during this time. The other thing though, is that I'm a big in my whole hashkafa of like my work and just the way that I operate is really putting Hashem in the picture, meaning the parnasa aspect. Like if you're relying on that client or if you're relying on that paycheck, whatever it is, like that's also a really hard test being like, okay, I feel like I'm not going to be earning if I'm not going to be putting in that same work. But that's exactly where the facade is and where we have to remind ourselves every single day. I always refer back to this. It's a three-prong prayer that I learned from my teacher, Rebbetzin Tzipora Harris. If anyone is familiar, amazing. You can look her up on TorahAnytime.com. But she taught me this. Of Hashem, you have all the power. Please help me with XYZ and thank you in advance for your kindness. Because we are doing the impossible, seemingly. Like if you look at it, I have to juggle so many things. I have to do so many things and I want to do and I want to accomplish. Well, we're small. We have to have the attitude of I'm small and beloved. This is not me being productive. This is not me owning it and like everything. Yes, more power to us. But like Hashem, you have all the power. No, I can't be a mommy to a sick baby and see my client at the same time. No, I can't. Hashem, you have all the power. Please help me find that balance and take care of everyone properly and to do my work properly. Show me how that is. Give me the clarity and thank you in advance. Thank you in advance because you're always here for me. I just need to turn to you. So that's just a constant, whether it's in my, you know, in my health work with people and helping people put health in that perspective or just in the work-life balance, that's a necessity. That's the foundation.
So golden. And like, we're so lucky that I think built into the framework of our lives and our hashkafas and our upbringing are these foundational principles that make the impossible, like you were saying, really possible. And it's just about like remembering to turn back to them and tap into them and use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just feel that when I was in this mode of exploration during these last 6 weeks, already longer ago now, but I was very open and I was davening much better about like, okay, Hashem, let me maximize, like, show me the way, show me the way, show me the way. Because I felt like I only had this limited time. But imagine if I would do that in general, like Hashem is always showing us the way, right? But I just found myself, opportunities were just like coming up and just things were opening up for me because I was really opening up myself to the process and including Hashem in the process and not feeling like, you know, I'm limited because I'm a mother, but this is what I have to work with. Hashem has blessed me in many ways with many challenges and many obvious blessings and hidden ones too. So this is what I have to work with. And Hashem, show me the way that I can go in a balanced, happy way, not running myself down.
So powerful. Miriam, I have a question for you that I think especially is a great question to ask you because this is something you help your clients with as well. What do you do that is just for you? Like, what do you do to nurture yourself, to take care of yourself? Because you can't feel imbalanced without that.
Yeah, this is a very big part of my work because I'm doing wellness. And so part of my approach to wellness is this, not only like physically, like are you eating and sleeping and exercising and all that like standard stuff, but like, how are you doing emotionally? And are you taking care of your other needs, your spiritual needs, your emotional, your social needs, right? So what do I do that's just for me? I'm a big proponent of checking in with yourself at the moment, being in tune with yourself and your emotions and your body. You know what you need. It's not like, I know that I like to write and I know that I like to dance and I know that I like to be in nature, but I don't like schedule a time that says, okay, today I'm doing, you know, my nature walk. That's what I'm doing. Like I am very, very flexible with myself and I give myself permission to do what it is that I need to do. A lot of the times, I'll be honest, I want to be doing more creative stuff and I want to be doing more business stuff because that's what fuels me. And that's okay. I'll be totally honest. I feel like I'm doing everything for me. And you know why it feels that way is because there's balance, is because I take care of myself physically and emotionally, know how to deal with my triggers and my emotions, and I'm connected to God. So I feel good in general. Obviously, we have our ups and downs, and I have plenty of emotional days, and I can handle myself. I can deal with life. So I don't feel like, oh, I have to like, this is for me now. Okay. There's times like that, you know, there's times like that where you treat yourself and you have to like go do something for yourself. And a lot of women are not used to this concept. So yeah, I do tell people to go do that kind of stuff and have their list of things that bring them joy. So I know those things, but I incorporate those things in my life because that's my work and that's what I help people with. And so that's my day.
It's also so aligned with what I do. It's like you said, I feel like I'm doing everything for me. Like, isn't that the dream life? And so many women are being told that it's not possible, right? Kind of like, suck it up. Life is hard. No one asks you to start a business. And that's why this podcast exists, to empower women to be able to achieve that dream of like, I feel like I'm doing everything for me. And you mentioned a point that I've been thinking about a lot lately because I'm hearing a lot from women, you know, schedule in your self-care or add something to your to-do list today that's going to bring you joy. And it's like, what if we stopped making joy a box to check off on the list and started architecting our entire lives to be lives that feel good and fulfilling and joyful? It's like, run yourself ragged, do what you got to do, no matter how exhausting or draining or stressful it is. And then also do one thing that's going to feel good today. It's ridiculous. Like, can we start just architecting our entire lives to be lives of joy and fulfillment?
Yeah. And I'll just mention on that point that we have to start where we are, because usually you figure out that you need to start architecting your life to be joyful when you've crashed and burned. I mean, I certainly did. So we got to start somewhere. So definitely making your list of joy and making sure you're doing that once a day, that's definitely the starting place. But know that there's also a way to start working on your general outlook in terms of how you see yourself and what you're deserving of and what your permission is. And honestly, getting information and guidance to help you do things smarter and not harder. Like I repeated this several times. If I could have had a personal coach just to tell me this is how you do it, I would have saved myself so much heartache and stress and everything else. There's just so much available to us nowadays that it's worth doing it smarter, figuring out a way for it to feel good. And again, it goes back to separating out our duties. That's really, really helpful just so that we can feel good in whatever part of the day we're doing, and learning to tap into ourselves, learning to take care of ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Absolutely. I have a question that I'm really wondering about. Do you find that as a wellness coach, your professional role, whether the right word would be pushes you or encourages you or challenges you to show up better for yourself? Because it's like you're holding all your clients to a certain standard and you're coaching all your clients to get to a certain place. And then you feel like you can't let yourself down in that area.
No, I'm very, very okay with being totally human and totally being in process. That's why I can say I have a coach, like I'm getting help. Like this is a struggle. We all struggle with things. It happens to be with my background, and I'm coming from a background of eating disorders, right? That's kind of the impetus why I'm so passionate about helping people, getting themselves feeling good in their bodies. I feel that it's so good to be where you're at. The coach doesn't have to be perfect to be able to help you. They have to know their stuff. Like, I know how to help people with what they're struggling with. I don't have to be a perfect person to do that. I just have to be working. It also has to do the same thing with in my work in Jewish outreach, because I'm still doing that. I'm still volunteering and I'm still sometimes getting hired to do Kiruv and things like that. So when you can't really be authentic if it's not coming from a place in your heart, but that doesn't mean you have to know all the answers. You don't have to be perfect to be a good role model or give your best. It's certainly inspiring if me and my clients working on ourselves together, but it's not mutually exclusive. And I do find that my clients are very inspiring, that it does definitely helping me. And I know that the more that I work on myself, so the better that I am to serve them.
Right. I was wondering, because the first time I was asked this question, someone basically asked me, as a work-life balance coach, do you essentially feel intimidated into having the perfect work-life balance? And it just caught me so off guard. I was like, no. And a few people have asked me since then, so it's been on my mind. Miriam, can you leave us with your top tip from the trenches, whether it's something that you mentioned already or just your best tip that you have for mompreneurs that are on this journey alongside you? What would you tell them?
I would say that if you're feeling pressured and stressed, something is not right. And to not just keep running yourself into the ground. We have so much good to do in so many areas. We don't have to do it all right now, even though I'm so prone to this, wanting to do everything the very best right now, this very second. If you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, just take a step back, just breathe and say, I'm totally human. That's okay. It's good. Now, who can I turn to for help? How can I figure out this problem? Miriam Adahan has this one line that I love. And she says, dishes are meant to be done, not dramatized. And it just helps me so much because I'm totally the one to be like, you know, dramatize the dishes. But people can dramatize anything. And when we realize it's okay to feel how I'm feeling, let's just acknowledge the feelings, take a break, deep breath, and get the help that I need because help is available. You don't need to, and you shouldn't feel like being a mompreneur has to be stressful. It doesn't have to be. Yes, there's learning curves, and yes, it can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be stressful and it shouldn't be stressful. That's a sign that you want to take care of something that's going on.
Yes, you know, I totally celebrate that. So a perfect note to end the episode on. Thank you for being here, Miriam, and for sharing your insights. I'm going to link your information in the show notes so listeners can find you, follow you, and connect with you further. And I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It was a pleasure. All the best.
Thank you, Miriam. Take care. Enjoy your trip.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, head to lifeworkspodcast.com because that's where the party's at. Drop a comment, hashtag ILifeWorked, on this episode to let our community know that you took the challenge and encourage others to do the same. If you want to hear more about what I do for mompreneurs and how we can work together, reach out, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Wishing you a day of work and life that work to bring you tremendous fulfillment and joy. Till next time, I'll see you here. And again, thanks for being a part of our incredible community.